Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read three verses beginning at verse 7, and then we will skip down to verse 20 and read several from verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains upon thy neck." And then looking at verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refuse, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it not all of my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Preaching today, choose the fear. I bless you. You may be seated. I want you to know that this is it's a heavy message for me to preach today. But it's revelation if you can receive it. Revelation for the sake of deliverance and revelation for the sake of moving into greater dimensions of the power things of the kingdom of God. There are two fears that are mentioned here in our reading in our text. One of them is listed in verses 7 through 9 and also verse 29, and it's the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. There is another fear that is mentioned here, and for lack of really identifying it any better, I'm just going to use your fear because that's how the Scripture identifies it. There's another called your fear that's in verses 26 and 27. Now, the fear of the Lord brings knowledge, wisdom, instruction, grace unto thy head, honorable necklace about thy neck. But your fear brings desolation. That means literally rushing, feeling like you're being pressed, that you're being chased. Your fear brings destruction, which is oppressive calamity. Your fear brings distress. Your fear brings anguish. Notice that it is wisdom that is the preacher in this text. Wisdom crieth without, openly speaking in the public for all to hear. How long, simple ones, will you love simplicity? The word simple ones here means easily seduced. It means every time you see any real, you believe it 100%. I hope you realize that more and more, especially since AI, ChatGPT and whatnot, that there is very little that you can say is truth that you see in these reels. I mean, you name it, TikTok, Instagram, it doesn't matter, Facebook, it's becoming more and more something that is, entertainment, but it's just agendas out there and not a lot of truth in what you are seeing. How long, you scorners, that means to mock, will you continue to scorn? And how long will fools hate knowledge? Turn at my reproof, repent, and God will bring blessing to you. So you see the contrast of these two fears. I looked up online and found a publication, and this is from the National Library of Medicine. So it should be a informative, at least dependable type institution. And I'm going to quote what I read. This is what I read. This is a quotation. Recently, social media platforms are heavily moderated to prevent the spread of online hate speech, which is usually fertile in toxic words and is directed toward an individual or community. Owing to such heavy moderation, newer and more subtle techniques are being deployed. One of the most striking of these is fear speech. Still quoting. Fear speech, as the name suggests, attempts to incite fear about a target community. Although subtle, it might be highly effective, often pushing communities toward physical conflict. Now, if you haven't picked up by now, this is an extremely liberal article that is being put out. And their big push is that while hate speech has been moderated, now there's fear speech that's taken its place, and they need to find some way to moderate the fear speech as well. Very liberal article. This speaks about a study that was done with 400,000 fear speech posts and 700,000 hate speech posts. Okay? Now, this is their conclusion, and I'm quoting again. Social media outlets and platforms, including Twitter and Facebook, necessitates using sophisticated moderation policies and mass awareness to combat fear speech. The dark and sinful culture that we live in wants to moderate and ban all speech that brings fear. Fear is seen as brutal, bullish, toxic, heartless, cruel, definitely not politically correct. Even many so-called Christian churches are removing biblical words and doctrines from their church services so as not to bring any fear to those attending in present or those watching online. They are censoring and removing words and doctrines like rapture of the church. Don't want anybody to have fear. Left behind. Eternal torment. They're removing the word hell from their words that they speak in church. Even crucifixion, because that is fearful. Blood, even blood being removed and no longer singing certain songs or writing certain songs about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking it will bring fear. Now, the reasoning that is in a society full of individuals dealing with anxiety and panic attacks and fear phobias, etc., let's do away with all fear. It has become a terrible, good-for-nothing entity to be disabled, abolished, and done completely away with. However, the infallible Word of God teaches us that there should be some fear that we have. There should be a fear that we choose. We are told to fear the Lord our God. Matthew 10 and 28 tells us, fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He said, don't be afraid of anybody that can destroy your body here on earth. But if you're going to fear, then you should have fear toward the one that controls where your soul spends eternity. Luke 1 and 50 says, His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. If you want to know the mercy of God, then you've got to learn to fear Him and to make it something that is part of your family and handing down as inheritance. Acts 2:43 tells us that fear of God came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. There's a connection here to the supernatural. Unless there's a fear of the Lord, unless there's a fear of God, there's dimensions of the supernatural that we can't walk in. I won't even go to Acts 5 and tell the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts 19 and 17 declares that the sons of Sceva began to try to do things in the supernatural, and when they were spiritually attacked by the darkness, fear fell on all, and God was magnified. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 tells us the only way to perfect holiness is in the fear of the Lord. You want to know why individuals have a difficult time with representing the holiness of God in their physical body? It's because they don't fear God. They have no knowledge of who He is in modesty and righteousness. Ephesians 5 and 21 tells us to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is a difficult thing for you to do, to submit yourselves one to another. The only way to make it properly happen is in the fear of God. Philippians 2 and 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This doesn't mean that you just go decide what you want to do concerning salvation, but you've got to be personal to work it out yourself and make sure that you are lined up to the Word of God. And you can't just do that flippantly or because you saw some reel somewhere, but you've got to do it with great fear and with great trembling, considering our holy and righteous God. Hebrews 12 and 28 tells us that we must serve God. It's just our acceptable service with reverence and godly fear. 1 Peter 2 and 17 says, fear God, honor men, love the brethren. This is basic greeting that Simon Peter believes that we have to have in our lives. There is fear in the natural that's very healthy. It's a fear that keeps me from climbing up on this roof and doing somersaults toward the edge. It's a fear that my body would fall apart even before I fell. But then not just the fall, it's that sudden stop at the end. And the pain and the hurt and the lengthy recovery if I made it. So it's a healthy fear of heights that keeps me from getting too close to the edge. That fear is healthy. It keeps you physically safe. It's a fear of poverty that gets me out of bed consistently. And the reason why we have way too many that are not working when they could and should, that's my qualification, when they could and should, is that because we've taken away the fear of poverty. You can read into that what you like. There's a fear of sickness that makes me very intentional about what I eat and what I don't eat. And the older I get, the more I have to realize this is a fact of life. It's a fear of sickness that makes me take care of things. And it's the fear of God that is the very beginning of knowledge and brings wisdom and brings instruction. Now, in case you're trying to do what has been done in the past generations, this word fear here does mean respect. But it means to have respect and reverence also along with fear and terror. So don't try to change the word fear and say, oh, it's just a respect for God. It's a reverence and respect that would make you tremble and fear and have terror because you have knowledge of how powerful He is, of how righteous He is. In the Gospels, we find Jesus demonstrating, given knowledge, proving that He was the Son of God through His miraculous miracles and healings. And often when this happens, you'll find the Scripture recording different descriptions of how they responded. Often they were amazed. Often and not most often, they were grateful and thankful. You'll find many descriptions of the response of people to the miraculous ministry of Christ. But there's just a handful of times that you find a different response that happens. Matthew 17 and 6, it's the time that we call the Mount Transfiguration. And Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. He leaves them a little lower on the mountain as He ascends to the top. And there Peter, James, and John see Moses and Elijah from generations gone appearing and talking to Jesus the Christ. And the three of them, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, are talking. And the disciples are blown away. They hear a voice from heaven that declares, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now his words had weight, but after an audible voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, hear what he has to say," it's weightier now than it ever was before. And when a cloud descended upon them, they heard these words and fell on their face and were sore afraid. This is a tremendous miracle that Moses and Elijah are appearing and talking to Jesus. But when this voice from heaven thunders, they are not jumping up and clapping their hands and smiling and being, "Whoa, did you see what we just saw?" This is such a dimension of power and miraculous strength that they're on their face trembling with fear because of what they have seen. I have made it my life's journey. It's my pursuit every day of my life to know the voice of God, to be a spirit-led individual, to be sensitive to His presence and hear His voice. And I've heard His voice millions of times, I guess, perhaps. But I have never, I'm being honest, I've never heard an audible voice of God. Now, there are times when He thundered to me spiritually so loud it was almost like it was physical, but I don't think that I've ever heard in my physical ears a physical sound from heaven that I knew from God that He spoke to me. I'm ready to hear that. God, let it happen in this place today that You thunder from heaven and speak to us. I don't know that I've ever heard that. Some have claimed, and I will take their word for it and thank God for their experience. But I think if it happened in this place today, we wouldn't just be jumping up and being excited. That's a good thing to give praise. But I think when that voice happens, we'd be on our face or running to an altar somewhere that God would choose to speak audibly in this building to us that are gathered in this place today. I'm ready, God. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let it happen in this house. In Mark chapter 4, verse 41, Jesus is in the hinder parts of the boat as the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee, and that Euroclodon of a storm is threatening to take them under. Finally, when they have enough boldness to go to where a weary Jesus is sleeping, they wake Him up, and you hear their desperation by their words, "Don't you care that we're all going to die here?" Jesus rebukes their faith. I believe it has to be faith that is connected to the knowledge of how powerful He is. And He demonstrates that by stepping to the edge of that boat where a hurricane-like wind is pressing them. Tsunami-like waves is sinking them. And He simply declares, "Peace, be still." And hurricane winds become gentle breeze through their hair. And waves that are tipping them over becomes like a placid glass-like upon the sea. And the Bible says that when they saw this, they fell on their face. Fear and trembling, and they said, "What manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey Him?" That's exceedingly fearful. I've heard of stories, and pastor told me this story, that they were having tremendous revival. God was doing supernatural. And then through the back doors of their church one evening came firemen with all of their garb and their axes and hoses ready to go. They disrupted the service and they said, "Where is the fire?" And they said, "Well, there's no fire. We're just having church." He said, no, there's a fire because several of your neighbors have said they're seeing flames coming from the top of the church building. They did all their examination, the firemen did, and there was no fire, there was no smoke. It was a supernatural demonstration of the fire of God that was in that house that several neighbors around saw. I think often we pray this way when tornadoes are headed our way or hurricanes or some storms. I think we pray, oh God, let that storm go north of us so we can still have church. I mean, what about the poor people north of us, right? Let that hurricane just go south, wipe out all of Florida. What do we care, you know? We pray prayers like that, and we even testify when things happen. And we've got pictures where seemingly storms of buildings all around and a church building was not affected, and we thank God for that. But I'm ready for the kind of miracle that looks at nature, and instead of saying tornado north and south, say tornado cease by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch it just dumb down to nothing. Anything that we can explain away is just being nature or just being this. But when that kind of demonstration happens, it's exceedingly fear that you feel and on your face, because what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? Mark chapter 5 and 33 is the story of the woman with the issue of blood, who doesn't feel worthy to come straight up before the Lord Jesus, but determines in her heart with her faith, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And when she touches the hem of his garment, Jesus feels power. The word there is virtue in the King James, but it's the Greek word dunamis, which is mostly translated power. We get our word dynamite from this word dunamis. Power left him. He felt healing power left him. And when she realized that she was healed, although no doctors had helped her, all of her money had not helped her, all of society had nothing for her, the Bible said she, with fear and trembling, began to give worship to Jesus. I can tell you of miracle after miracle that we've seen. I have literally watched tumors dissolve off of people in the presence of God as they called on the name of Jesus. We've watched the crippled, paralyzed, get up and walk. And can I tell you, when that miracle happened in the back room of the church after she was baptized, and when she walked down the aisle, the church that had been worshiping about the miraculous, confessing the miraculous, shouting about the miraculous happening, when they saw it, their chins dropped, and there was a fearful silence across the whole place. God doing these kind of miracles here and there. But when these miracles happen, we need a wind like this. My pastor, we buried him just 14 days or so ago. Less than that, actually, 10 days. And he was a man of tremendous faith, Jerry Tipton. Tremendous faith. And he believed up to the very last moment that God was going to heal him in this life. Man of faith. He lived in faith. And he died in faith. And we know what a powerful miracle it was. At his funeral, healings began to happen. The supernatural began to happen. It wasn't mourning. It was rejoicing his life. And it was a continuation and a mantle or an impartation of what his ministry and his life was at his funeral. I believe a precedent needs to be set. But every once in a while, we need someone in stages of cancer that have no hope, that God raises up and renews, and they live and walk. And if we are closely connected, I think it won't just be that we clap hands and shout, and that's great, but I think that our first response would be, oh my goodness, what has God just done here? Fear, trembling. In Luke 2, 9, it's also in Mark 16 and 8, you find angels appearing, and when they appear, the individual seeing them fall down with fear and trembling. I recognize angelic presences in the house, and I recognize the feeling of power and authority when they come in. I recognize where angels have been operating and moving by the feelings, the emotions that I've connected with them through the years. But I don't think I've ever physically seen an angel looking like an angel. Maybe I've entertained angels unaware where individuals that look like individuals were actually angelic. And there's been a couple of times that I point to and say, maybe that person might have been an angel. But to physically see it with my eyes, and I think if I saw one here today, I wouldn't just be jumping up and down, but probably falling on my face. It's time that we are able to see this, not just in the spirit, but we see this physically, angels that are among us, and we can see them and describe them. There's a level of knowledge concerning the deep things of the spirit. There's a level of wisdom that only with this wisdom and knowledge will a fear of the Lord be made manifest. In Mark 5:15, Jesus delivers a man who has legions of demons, devils. And those that see him clothed and in his right mind are afraid and fearful. And they just want Jesus and this man to leave because of their great fear. I have seen this many times in our ministry. But the past generation or so has tried to hide this because it easily confused by those watching online. Because it's not smooth with the process of a church service. There's been a lot of fear concerning how these operate. I can remember when I was a child that individual came in possessed, they would have all the children go back to Sunday school room where we'd be praying, and they'd deliver an individual without any children around because they didn't want fear. We were in Texas. They had a prayer room on one side for the men, prayer room on the other side for the ladies, just the way they did it there. Pre-service prayer was happening. I'd spent time in the prayer room. I came out a little early because I was wanting to get settled and greet individuals. When I came out of the prayer room, some ladies came over to me and said, we desperately need you in the ladies' prayer room. I saw that they had grabbed Pastor, and the two of us were headed toward the ladies' prayer room. When we get there in the prayer room, it's this beautiful girl, probably in her late 20s, that was in church for a good while, I believe raised in the church. But she had gotten, for whatever reason, confused, hurt, broken, and she walked away from a relationship with God. In that relationship, she began to involve herself in marijuana and alcohol. Now, let me say this. I know that our society has deemed that there's very little negative effect of marijuana. And that might be true physically. I don't know. But I know there's a real danger spiritually by taking certain things like marijuana and other drugs, even alcohol, because it alters your conscience. It makes you less combative for what could come against you spiritually. It makes you open spiritually. And while she was smoking marijuana in parties, she was also listening to some hard rock music, which was full of anger and murder, verbiage and different things. didn't even realize. She just thought she was partying, having a good time. But because of the altered consciousness and because of what she was entertaining and embracing, there was demonic possession that came into her heart. Now she has come to church. She wants to get her life straight. She's trying to get away from all the problems that choices of sin have done for her. But when she tries to pray, she's getting choked up. And when those people around her are trying to help her, she's writhing and she's a mess. When Pastor and I get in there, she's kind of not kneeling, but kind of setting up on kneeling on an altar there. And we just go over to her because they haven't told us anything of what's going on. And we just lay hands on her. And when we lay hands on her, she immediately revolts out from under our hands and begins to writhe on the ground. Her skirt that she had on began to move way up on her. And it was tremendously immodest what was going on, and we realized that this is a spiritual possession. The pastor's son is in the door of the ladies' prayer room, and he sees what's happening. He takes his coat off and he throws it. This is something we commonly do if there's no blanket. Now he took the coat and put it on her legs, trying to make her more modest. But when we get close, she's got slobber coming out the side. Her hair is all disheveled. It is obviously that this possession upon her is tremendously troubled. Pastor had great wisdom. He leaned down to her and spoke her name and said, "We love you. We have been praying for you. We know that you're going to receive deliverance right now. We want you to know that we're not mad at you, but we are going to be bold and we're going to be violent, taking authority over this possession, and we're going to rebuke it and we're going to cast it out, and you're going to be delivered and receive the refreshing of the Holy Ghost in just a few moments." And she was able to respond and say that yes, that's what she wanted, that's what she needed. And when we laid hands on her head, she's writhing, she's revolting. It was amazing how strong she was by this possession that was upon her. The ladies are trying to hold her in place so we can keep our hands upon her head, and we simply rebuke the demons by the authority of the Word of God. Hate, come out. Rebellion, come out. Anger, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we spoke the name of Jesus, from her nostrils, both of them streamed like you turn on a water faucet, a substance that looked like mucus. It was green, it was dark, maybe even blackish brown. It's a mess, and it is pouring from both of her nostrils as she's receiving deliverance. I happened to notice that it was falling right on the coat of the pastor's son that was trying to bring modesty to the situation. She breaks through and deliverance happens, and she begins to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and the contortion upon her face turns to peace, and joy begins to be in her spirit as she speaks in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and she receives a tremendous deliverance. I took the coat over to the pastor's son and I said, "You might want to burn this." And told him the story of what happened, what I saw. I didn't know this till after church, but what he did is he went to the restroom and went over every inch of his coat inside and out. And after service, he told me he could not find one place of moisture, much less any goo or sickness. That was actually what we saw coming, that God allowed this physical representation of this grossness of spirit to be seen by us. And then once it came out of her body, it was no more. I could tell you stories in Mississippi where a young man in a prayer room was growling like a dog. And when they come to get me, realized instantly what he was doing, opened himself up to some things through pornography. We took authority by the power of the name of Jesus, and instantly he quit barking and growling and writhing on the ground. Power of God back to his life, and Holy Ghost began to manifest itself as he yielded and spoke in tongues, the Spirit of God. Some of you here probably have never even heard of stories like this. Our generation was raised on this. But because society has accepted us somewhat as Pentecostals, and the Christian world has moved toward our type of worship, demonstrative, powerful worship, we are more accepted in the Christian world and more accepted even in our world across our generation. And somehow we've gotten away because we don't want anybody to be afraid when the power of God begins to demonstrate itself. And there's a war in the spirit where demons are trying to speak to individuals and tear people apart. And we don't want to show that anymore. Dimensions and depths of the spirit that we preach are going to happen soon. That we pray for. Miracle signs and wonders are at our doorsteps. But there is a dimension of fear that we have to choose. And that's to get knowledge about who God is. You've heard my story. Some of you have heard quite a bit of my story. And I dealt with daddy issues for years, as most of you know. And I am so thankful for a revelation that in relationship that I have with my God, that He is my Heavenly Father. But there is a warpness that you'll find in Christendom today where they have watered who God is down to He's just a daddy God. With no righteousness, and no judgment, and no power, that He's only grace, He's only mercy, He's only love. And if that's the only knowledge you have of God, then you're living in simplicity of who He is, easily seduced. There is a need for us. I pray that it doesn't have to come down to individuals being so flippant about the power and the holiness of God that they'll lie to the Holy Ghost in a church service and be dragging out. I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Dragging out dead because they're lying. But you know the scripture says that fear came upon all the church. And that was the time that Simon Peter began to walk down the roads and his shadow fell upon sick people and they were healed. It's a dimension of healing that they have never seen before because a fear of the Lord moved upon the church. So I'm asking God to reveal Himself with audible voices to us. Let a boldness come up in us that we can speak to nature itself. Let there be miracles, mighty miracles. And we've seen many here and there. I don't want to say that we're not seeing them, but dimensions of miracle to greater power than what we have seen before. So that we don't just clap our hands at what a great thing God is doing, but it puts us in a different understanding, a different knowledge of how powerful, how anointed, how holy, how righteous. Let us see the spiritual realm as truly a war and truly a battle. And authority taken over demonic spirits and those possessed instantly set free and delivered. Scripture makes it clear here in our text that this is a choice. That you choose one, or by default you have chosen the other. That we choose the fear of the Lord, or we succumb to your fear, our fear. That we choose to get knowledge of God through His Word and through experience in His Spirit. Greater understanding, greater dimensions, greater than what we have walked in, to it brings a holy fear and trembling upon us concerning our God. If not, then we deal with distress. Rushing, chase, fear. And this is rampant in our world today, and it has way too much play even in our churches. And people are dealing with anxieties, good people. Dealing with panic attacks, good people, even people that worship among us that have the Holy Ghost. Dealing with fears and anxieties and panic attacks. And the world has tried to tell them how to help. But it's not helping. But the Word of God makes it clear. Choose the fear of the Lord. And this other fear will have no authority and no power over you. Would you stand with me today? I know it's Wednesday night, but I'm not apologizing for the message because God prepared us last night in prayer. Pastor confirmed it just with his words to me last night as we talked after prayer meeting, that God was going to speak something supernaturally to us, that the operation of the Holy Ghost would be here in the supernatural. That's what we're hungry for. Sometimes the prophetic word that we receive is not blessing. Sometimes it's not the things that we want to hear of goodness. Sometimes it's just a little bit of correction. Often it's instruction. And it gives us the opportunity to believe the Word of God in revelation and move into a dimension that causes His power, His blessing of deliverance and ministry anointing to greater depths to be upon our lives. Couldn't preach this message here a few months ago, but now you're ready. Across our nation, there's a tremendous revival happening in our churches. We're seeing this as we travel. People are coming to the church. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. The nominal churches are coming closer to full understanding of salvific truth. There is an awakening that it's a true spiritual awakening. And we have a window of opportunity. I'm speaking this prophetically to you. We've got a window of opportunity where the Spirit is drawing and people are not hindered by some of the Antichrist boundaries that have happened even a few years in the past. And God's going to do a quick work. I don't know how long we have. I've got elders in my life, powerful men of God, that are telling me we've got maybe 3.5 years, 4 years. I don't know how long we have, but I feel the intensity and the pressure of the last days upon me. And if you wonder how can we possibly do what needs to be done, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So before He can take us into deeper understandings and deeper, this is the beginning. Fear of the Lord. And to what depth you receive and understand this. I remember when I was in Christian Academy. I'm assuming I was around 13 or 14 years of age. My pastor at the time preached from this text about laughing when your fear cometh and mocking at your calamity. But he took a little liberty, and I'm not judging that. He said that God would do that to us when the rapture took place and we realized that we missed it. Or that somehow when our last breath was leaving us and we realized that we weren't ready to go, that all the preaching you've heard, all the instruction that has been spoken, and because you said, I will not, you would not turn the reproof. Then when that time comes and you have no more breath or the rapture takes place, then God Himself would laugh at your calamity, mock when your fear comes. I don't know that I can preach it that way. It's not the way I see it in the Scripture. I'll tell you what it did to a 13-year-old boy. I ran down to the altar. I didn't care about recess that day. Didn't care about lunch. I wanted to make sure I was right with God. Back when I was growing up, they preached about the rapture. There were times that I'd come home from school and nobody be at the house, and that's crazy when there's 7 kids and 3 adults. Nobody's at the house, and walking down the hall, there's a small pile of clothes, and I'm thinking, oh my God, the rapture's taking place, and my mom went to heaven naked. Left her clothes right there. Who can I call to make sure the rapture, oh yeah, my Sunday school teacher, I'll call my Sunday school teacher. She made, if anybody made it, she made it. And the conviction and the fear that came upon me that because I was not being sincere about some things in my life that I might have missed the rapture. We don't preach conviction messages like that. But because there's very little conviction messages, there's very little fear of the Lord. When's the last time you heard a message on hell? Burning fire that never is quenched. Gnashing of teeth. When's the last time you heard a message about how long eternity is? But because we were maybe abused with that early in our life, it's difficult for us to preach that because we've got a little bit of a warp. But unless this generation hears conviction, if you go to the mega churches today, it's teachers having itching ears that we're heaping to ourselves because they're taking all these words out that would bring any kind of fear and conviction, and they're preaching about only the blessed life and one dimension of God, and it's just a mockery of what God is because that's just one small part. Young man, if you want God to open some doors for you, get you some messages that bring conviction because it's going to start happening more and more. You got to hear it. Otherwise, we just think it's all about how much money God's going to bless us with, how God's going to bless us in this area, that area, that area. It's very small in the knowledge of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning. And so this is why verse 29 of chapter 1 of Proverbs tells us, choose. Well, I can't help it. This has come upon me. And I just have all these fears and this distress, this anger. There is a choice that you can make to fear the Lord. And the more knowledge you get of Him and His true power as a judge, as a holy, holy, holy God, and the more fear of the Lord will chase away all this your fear stuff that is way too rampant among us. You got fears concerning your health? Let me tell you what you should be fearing. The one that has power over your soul. That's what Matthew tells us. Because your fear causes you to focus so much on you. That's all you can see. But the fear of the Lord causes you to focus on Him. And when you see knowledge of who He is, this fear is nothing. Has no place. Your fear has no place.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.